This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Louisiana Republican Senator David Vitter, who's here to update us on the latest efforts to contain the massive oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico, as well as his efforts to make sure that wildlife in particular is protected as this ongoing effort to respond to the oil spill continues. And Senator, it's great to have you with us as always.
Great to be with you, Greg. Thank you.
Well, as we've mentioned pretty much from the get-go here, the biggest issue is stopping the flow, and we know now that a big percentage of the leak is being siphoned off and taken up to the surface into tankers. What's our best estimate right now as to how much of the oil is now no longer being sent into the Gulf?
Well, Greg, that's the $64,000 question that I've been asking for about a week and haven't gotten a specific answer. Allegedly, the industry and the federal government are working on much more precisely estimating that. The good news is a big part of the flow is now being captured. The bad news could be that the flow could have been increased significantly, even more than the 20% outside chance they talked about, by this cutting of the pipe. That's unclear to me. I'm not saying it necessarily is, but I think that's a possibility. And so I've been demanding clear answers to those questions about what's flowing out, what's being captured, and I'll keep pushing that until we get clear answers.
How much of the Louisiana coastline is impacted at this point?
Well, it's a lot. Now, unfortunately, in addition, because of currents and winds, it's now impacting Mississippi, Alabama, Florida.
Sure.
So it's really exploded to four states, not just one. In terms of the Louisiana coast, about half our coast is directly threatened. Now, oil hasn't touched half of the entire coast, but half the coast is clearly threatened, at least half, the eastern half, probably more like 60%.
Tell our listeners a little bit more in specificity about your efforts to make sure wildlife is protected as much as possible. What's the threat right now to the wildlife, and what are you hoping the government will do here?
Yeah, Greg, one of my big concerns with a lot of other folks is oiled wildlife and that threat. And unfortunately, that impact has been exploding as the oil gushes out and as it moves from one state to impacting four states. Just as an example, I was with Governor Jindal last week. We went to a place, a barrier island called East Grande Terre Island, and we found there, we didn't go looking for oiled wildlife, but we saw directly with our own eyes, being there for other reasons, four oiled brown pelicans. It was really a tragic sight. Nearby, the next day, at another barrier island, there were 40 oiled brown pelicans that were rescued. So clearly, these numbers are growing a tremendous amount in the last 10 days. For that reason, I expressed real concern to Admiral Allen and the head of U.S. Wildlife and Fisheries that we didn't have adequate response on that end of things. And I asked them to put one or two trained wildlife folks in every vessel monitoring the water and air that goes out into the Gulf very, very regularly, so that those vessels can also be used to rescue wildlife effectively when they come across them. So I'm going to follow up on that suggestion and similar suggestions with the conference call. In addition, I'm going to host the Humane Society that's coming into the state this coming Monday to look at some of these issues, because it's unfortunately this side of things and this challenge is growing too.
In terms of access to these animals, obviously we've seen some of the really heartbreaking pictures on shore, and you mentioned all the vessels that are out there, but is that basically a drop in the bucket given the size of this spill and the amount of wildlife potentially impacted?
I think it is, and I've heard a lot of anecdotal evidence of, hour and a half waits once something's called in terms of animals that need to be rescued, not adequate folks out there. And the thing is, we're pushing all sorts of vessels into the Gulf for other purposes, for monitoring. And my specific suggestion is to have one or two trained wildlife folks on each vessel so that they can spot wildlife while they're at the other work, not get in the way of the other work, but spot and rescue wildlife as they see them.
We've all heard about the fragile ecosystem that exists along the Gulf Coast. What kind of domino effect is a threat there if this isn't addressed in a pretty efficient way?
Well, it's real serious. Our marshes are the incubator for all sorts of fisheries and wildlife. And the big threat, at least in Louisiana, is not just oil touching barrier islands, oil touching a traditional beach. That's bad. But 100 times worse is oil getting behind those barrier islands and those beaches into the marsh. And that's the real incubator of so much of our seafood and other wildlife.
We're talking with Louisiana Senator David Vitter. And, Senator, I know that not that long ago, Governor Jindal in particular, but you also spoke out about the frustrating efficiency of the federal government's response in terms of boom and resources and just the response to specific requests. Has that improved much over the past couple of weeks?
Some areas, yes. Some areas, no. For instance, one thing we were very focused on, remain focused on, is the state proposal to build up berms on barrier islands as a land boom, if you will, to block the oil getting into the marsh. The feds dragged their feet for weeks and weeks before they approved moving forward on 2% of that plan. Then we pushed hard again, and they approved moving forward on 40% of that plan. So we're mobilizing, the governor's mobilizing grudges to get that done, and of course, we want the other 60% as well. But that's an example of the sort of pulling teeth that it has taken, unfortunately, to get a response.
The president has been down there a couple of times in the past couple of weeks. He's apparently headed back there again early next week. He's had a press conference on this. He got tough in the latest interview with Matt Lauer. What's your assessment of how he's handled this?
It's been frustrating to me. You know, we don't need isolated visits. We need, starting within the entire set of federal agencies, to really take charge, really take the lead, really get a hold of this, and we're not there yet. So we're continuing to work hard with them and push them.
There's so many different federal agencies involved here. Of course, you've got your FEMA, you've got Homeland Security, you've got Interior, you've got EPA, and all these others. Is that helpful, or is there too much bureaucracy going on here?
Well, sometimes, you know, everybody's in charge, so nobody's in charge. Everybody's responsible, so nobody's responsible. One of the things I've harped on and pushed is a clear military-style chain of command, so decisions are made and orders are given, and it happens. There's been way too much consultation, coordination. It's like an academic symposium and not a military operation. It needs to be a whole lot more like the latter.
Senator, again, I wish we could say that we were getting close to the end of this. We just don't know. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg.
Louisiana Senator David Vitter. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.